Songs are memories, music is therapy. Hello and welcome to You, Me, the 80s and the 90s. As always, I'm Wayne Tunks.
And I'm Emma Louise.
How are you, Emma?
Yeah, good, good, good. All the better for seeing you as usual.
Well, there you go. This is our favourite time to get together, talk about music.
Yes, and we've got a special guest in the house today.
Yes, last week we talked about your dad and, well, he just had to pop in.
He appeared from Queensland, so yeah. He's listening in. I'm trying not to be nervous.
Well, there you go. I'm sure you've performed in front of Dad before.
Yeah, a couple of
times. Like when you were trying to get out of getting in trouble.
Yeah, and we won't go into that.
Yes. All right. Well, let's take a look at our top five. This time we're going all the way back to 1981.
Mm.
And Emma's not fond of this list. All right.
It's a mixed bag, mixed bag.
And in at number five is John Lennon with Woman. Last week the song was at 7. It was its fourth week in. It reached 4 in Australia, 1 in Canada, Ireland, New Zealand and the UK, and got to 2 in the US.
It's weird that it didn't get to number 1 here, I think.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, it was released, of course, about a month after his death, or after he was murdered, I should say,
yeah.
Back in December 1980. So, yeah, it went number 1 in lots of other places, but not here.
Yeah, or the US, yeah. Mm.
Interesting.
Interesting.
Do you like the song?
I do. I'm not sort of that big on sort of a lot of sort of John Lennon stuff, but this is a nice song.
I really, really do like this song. He, of course, wrote it as an ode to his wife, Yoko Ono, and, you know, to all women, he said. He said, I think, in a Rolling Stone interview on the 5th of December, it said, 1980, which was only literally about 2 days or 3 days before he was assassinated. He said that the song came about because one sunny afternoon in Bermuda, it suddenly hit me that what women do for us, not just what my Yoko does for me, although I was thinking in those personal terms, but any truth is universal. What dawned on me was everything I was taking for granted. Women really are the other half of the sky, as I whisper in the beginning of the song. So isn't that nice?
It is
go
very
women.
Nice. There you go. Well, of course, you would like that more because, you know, you are a woman.
Totally.
Exactly.
Yes.
Now, this song actually, for him, was the most Beatles-like track on the Double Fantasy album, and he called it the 80s update of Girl, which is a track from Rubber Soul.
Ah, I don't know that song.
No, I don't know that one either. I do know a lot of the Beatles stuff, but there is so much Beatles.
Like, oh, so
the
much.
The back catalogue of the Beatles is extensive.
Yeah, yeah.
And in the UK, this replaced Imagine at number 1, which had been reissued following his death. So this was the first time an artist replaced themselves at UK number 1 since the Beatles did it in 1963 with She Loves You and I Want to Hold Your Hand.
Wow. That's, yeah.
Again, just to show the impacts on the Beatles, you know, which are not even arguably the greatest band of all time.
I'm glad you said that, Wayne.
There you go.
I love the Beatles. I didn't realise you really liked the Beatles.
No, you know what? No, there are other bands that I personally like.
Prefer.
Yeah. But if you look at, you know, chart success and, you know, abilities and skills, you know, you have to say they are the greatest band of all time.
Hmm. Hmm. So. I think so. Well, yeah. One of.
Yeah.
The video for this, of course, is quite sad, really. I watched it the other day. It was filmed before he died.
Yeah.
So there's lots of him and Yoko walking through Central Park, but then there's lots of Yoko sort of by herself, and it makes reference to his assassination, newspaper clippings and things. It's quite bittersweet.
Yeah, I think those first songs that get released after an artist dies is often just so sad, and you see a video, and even if it's a joyous video, you kind of, there's a bit of bittersweetness about it.
Yeah. Sad times, but great song.
Great song. All right. In at number four, we'll see whether Emma thinks this is a great one as well. It's Jonah Louie with Stop the Cavalry. Mary Bradley waits at home in the nuclear fallout zone. Wish I could be dancing now in the arms of the girl I love. The song last week was at 2. It was its 11th week in the charts. It reached 2 in Australia, 1 in Austria and France, 3 in the UK, but didn't chart in the US.
Didn't chart in the US. What a surprise.
Wow, there's some hate speech.
I'm sorry, Wayne, but does anyone really? I mean,
clearly people like the song.
Yeah.
And actually, people still listen to it now because it is seen as a Christmas song, and so it gets pulled out every year in Europe for Christmas.
I was actually reading this, like, according to one poll conducted by the Irish Times, Stop the Cavalry is the fourth most popular Christmas song in Ireland still.
There you go.
And it's not even meant to be a Christmas song. I mean, that happened by complete accident because there was one line in it that says, I wish I was home for Christmas.
Yes, and Louis has said that he never intended it as a Christmas hit, that it was more a protest song.
It's totally like an anti-war thing. Because, I mean, I get that at the time of this song's release, there was definite tensions between, you got the Western Bloc and the Soviet Union, American-controlled nuclear cruise missiles being stationed over in the UK, and everyone was scared whether nuclear war could in fact break out. And so, you know, it was a tense time, I guess, and that's therefore the anti-war protest song has its place. But, oh, God.
You know, I will like admit I had never heard this song before in my life. But, you know, and yes, and while it's not my style, I really appreciate the sentiment. And that's why I'm like, it's okay with me. Because I think, you know, protest songs are really, really important. And I think that protest songs do change the world. Because I feel like there are people, if this went high in so many places, there are people who may have thought differently or may not have been comprehending what was going on that might stop and have a look and listen. And that's why I think protest music and musicians making political statements is so important. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, musicians should just shut up and make music. I don't think that's right.
I don't think that's right either. And yes, okay, granted, I can't disagree with what you just said, but in terms of the song itself, I've got to say, if I never hear Jonah Louie sing again.
You know, we were actually, when we were plotting this last time, when we were together, and we looked up and he had another song that was a hit in Australia as well.
You'll always find me in the kitchen at parties.
I'd heard neither, but in my other job at my 88, the radio station, we played that song the other morning. I saw it on the playlist. It was like really early in the morning.
At like 2 a.m.
It was around that time.
I'm glad.
But I saw it on the playlist and I had a chuckle to myself because I was like, there's that song that Emma and I were talking about.
Yeah. Well, I mean, yeah, let us know what you guys think, of course. But I've got to say this was definitely not one of my favourites.
Okay. I just want to add one little bit though. So that Louis clearly would love this song. He has said that royalties received from this song account for 50% of his income stream.
Wow. That is quite something.
So, yes, he would appreciate it being rolled out every Christmas.
I wonder how much money he makes from that.
I don't know.
Mind boggles.
All right, well, let's have a look at number three. It's Dr. Hook with Girls Can Get It. Girls can get it any time they want. Girls can get it where a man often won't. Everybody's always after some love. Last week it was at 5. It was its 9th week in the chart. It reached 3 in Australia, 5 in New Zealand and South Africa, 40 in the UK and 34 in the US.
Oh.
It's a little outdated.
You think? I'm not a Doctor Hook fan by any means. In fact, I don't know much of their stuff. I did try and go back and have a look at some of their catalogue, but none of it appealed to me.
It's one of those bands that I'm sure if I heard, like, sat down and listened to their greatest hits, I go, oh, I know that. But, yeah, I don't sort of off the top of my head. But, I mean, they did have two number ones here in Australia, Walk Right In and Sylvia's Mother. But I feel like the song I know best from theirs is When You're In Love With A Beautiful Woman. That's a good song.
Oh, okay. I don't know that at all. I know Walk Right In.
When you're in love with the beautiful woman, it never ends. No?
You all should see the way you're dancing at the moment.
I know, that's some dad dancing. Yeah.
Can you just keep doing that, please?
Always.
Okay, well, but this song, totally dated. Apparently us women can get it anytime we want. It being, you know, sex.
Chocolate. Yes.
It's... I just don't like the song. Do you like the song, Wayne?
Not heavily.
I don't have much to say about
it. I find
it,
antiquated and old-fashioned. Yeah, you know.
It must have been a bit of a slow week in the Australian charts, I thought, to have Jonah Louie and then this.
Wow. Whoa, you're throwing Jonah Louie in there?
Well, yeah, I am.
But the band was originally known as Dr. Hook and the Medicine Show, but it was shortened in 1975. So they played with loads of genres over the years, but it was when they added a disco feel that they got their best success. But it did cause division in the band. Ray Sawyer, one of the founding members, was really against the new music and left in 1983.
Do you know, because you mentioned the name of the band, and Ray Sawyer, of course, was one of the members, he used to wear an eye patch. Because he had lost his right eye in a near-fatal car crash back in 1967. And so that's where the Hook name was inspired by, as a reference to Captain Hook of the Peter Pan fairy tale, even though Captain Hook from Peter Pan didn't even have an eye patch. So it's all a bit weird.
Wow,
but there's
Emma's feeling hateful today. I think maybe let's just move on to number two. And this is a great song. In at number two, it's Adam and the Ants with Ant Music. Last week the song was at four. It was its fourth week in the charts. The song reached one in Australia, two in South Africa and the UK, but didn't chart in the main US charts.
Now, I do like this song.
Yeah.
I can definitely appreciate this.
Well,
song.
A friend of yours is a massive Adam and the Ants fan.
Oh, Cassidy. Maddox.
Yeah, yeah, you knew who I was talking about. So if she hears you disparaging this song, she's coming
dare.
For you.
No, I mean, it's very unique that I was discussing it even with my dad yesterday, the that drumming, like the sticks they use. It's very, what was it called? It was noted for its use of Burundi drums. That's like an African.
Yeah. I just think it is such a brilliant song. It just, it just musically is beautiful, and it's just something unique as well. Like, it just really stands out from that time.
Yeah.
And it still holds up today. Like, you listen to it today and you're like, that's still a great song listening to it today.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That was in its... Because Adam and the Ants, they kind of had a couple of incarnations, didn't they? They started as just the Ants.
Yep.
I believe back in the early... Was it... Oh, hang on. The late 70s they started, didn't they?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they were the Ants for a few years and they were quite noted for their high camp and... overtly sexualized stage performances. My, I wish I could have seen some of that.
Yes, yes.
And then in the second incarnation, they became Adam and the Ants, of course, and you get this kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, in 1979, Ant paid the Sex Pistols manager, Malcolm McLaren, £1,000 for advice on how to make it in the business. So McLaren introduced him to the tribal sound, so that drum beat that you were talking about that came to define Ant's music. But he also asked his backup band, the Ants, to join his new project, Bow Wow Wow, who did I Want Candy, which they accepted. So Adam replaced the three departing members with new Ants.
Ah.
So there you go, paid £1,000 and lost three members of his band.
But got new ones, got new sound, and were, I guess, more successful overall.
100%, because this song, essentially, you know, if you ask people to name an Adam and the Ants song, this is the song.
100%.
100%.
100%.
But he, you know, for having quite this provocative image, Ant himself was never a drug user. And in the late 70s, he also gave up alcohol and cigarettes as well. He said his big indulgence was sex, which he was very open about. Apparently, he has dated Jamie Lee Curtis and Heather Graham.
Oh, wow. Jamie Lee Curtis?
Yes.
Hot.
There you go. We're turning into a gossip channel.
And Heather Graham, well, she's always liked her musicians, hasn't she?
Yes, and she is a gorgeous woman.
She is.
Very talented.
She is. Apparently, Stuart Leslie Goddard, otherwise known as Adam Ant, he was also an actor.
Yes, I read that.
He's appeared in over like 2 dozen films and TV episodes.
Yeah, good on him. And here's the last little one for you. Adam Ant's mum was Paul McCartney's cleaner in the 60s.
It's a small world. Wow.
We get everything leads back to the Beatles, apparently. Yeah.
In this episode. Yeah. So that takes us to number one, Wayne.
Number
what have we
one.
Got?
So we have Swingers with Counting the Beats. Week the song was at one. It was at 6 weeks in the charts. The song reached one in both Australia and New Zealand.
This is a good song.
Because they're a Kiwi band. It only was big in these places.
Well, I hope that people out there in the world have a listen to it because as an 80s track, I really like this.
You know, and I didn't know that they, until recently, I didn't know that they were from, you know, this part of the world. And so in my mind, I just assumed that the whole world would know this song because it's so iconic. In Australian culture.
And it's funny you should say that because me too, when I heard it, I thought the Swingers, oh, that must be a British pop band because it's that got that sort of British pop
very
feel.
Much so.
They sound British. Like, but yeah, well done.
And
to
it's such a good song. And it's so much in our popular culture. Also because Australian retail store Kmart, which they have Kmart in America, but your Kmart in Americans is very different to our Kmart. Our Kmart's like your Target.
Mm. Well, we've had a rebranding about Kmart.
But when I was over, when I was in America in 2019, I went to both Kmart and Target. Target's just like Kmart.
Okay.
There you go.
Nice.
But yes, but Kmart used the song for absolutely years in their advertising.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah, so I hear the song and I think of Kmart. So that's good advertising.
Yeah. The Swingers, of course, the group's frontman, Phil Judd, he was previously a member of Split Enz.
Yes, who we might hear about a little bit later.
We may well hear about very soon. They are, of course, a New Zealand band, you know.
Yes.
And although there's always been this rivalry between New Zealand and Australia and who's claiming who and this song was actually included once on an episode of, do you know that TV series 20 to 1?
Yeah, I hated that show.
Oh, I don't mind it.
You know why I hated that show? There was one day Madonna was on the charts and all these D-grade celebrities were like making jokes at McDonald's expense. And I was like, you guys can't even poo in the same toilet as Madonna. Like you are not in her league. Don't just make random comments because you think you're funny. You're not funny. And I didn't like the show ever since.
Oh, there you go. Well, others in Australia have watched the show and enjoyed it. Anyway, on this one episode, Counting the Beat was ranked number 13 and was identified as Australian in origin. And I guess this was because the Swingers were signed with Australian label Mushroom Records.
The legendary Mushroom Records.
Yes, and they were residents in Australia at the time. So, therefore, they were claiming that this was an Australian hit.
Yep.
Really, we should give it to the Kiwis.
They were Kiwi. Yep. No, I'm not taking that away from them. Yeah. But, yeah, because considering also as well, they had a few chart songs in New Zealand, but they are one-hit wonders in Australia.
Ah.
Yeah.
Damn. The video's fun.
It is fun.
In fact, there's a part in the video where there's a crowd at the end of the song. They all come in and dance and stuff. Apparently they weren't actors. They were people on a surprise drinking bus and one of the stops was this music video shoot where they had 15 minutes to dance.
Is that how you get extras?
That's how apparently you do it.
I need party extras for music video next Friday. I should pull up a bus. Actually, I feel like Occupational Health and Safety would not be okay with that nowadays.
That's true. This was the early 80s.
Yeah, you could get away with literal anything.
So true.
Well, that was our top five from this week in 1981. Let us know on social media, what was your favourite song? Welcome to Forgotten Gem. And this time, our request comes from Sophie Carter, who is a member of a really great band called Never Ending 80s. They tour all over Australia and internationally when COVID allows them. And Sophie, amazing voice, amazing singing voice. So I'm so glad she was able to tell us her Forgotten Gem. So Sophie, over to you.
Hi, everyone. It's Sophie Carter here. Thank you so much, Wayne and Emma, for asking me to be part of the Forgotten Gem section of your fabulous podcast. I've been listening and I've been loving everything that you're doing. So thank you so much for asking me. I have to say, after much long drawn out deliberation, I have requested to hear I Hope I Never Buy Split Ends. I still want to be my smile. Happiness is back in style. I hope I never have to see. This song holds a lot of meaning for me. We had the album, the LP of Ends of an Era, which was a Best of Split Ends album, which was released in 1982. And as a small child who's always had music in her life, I used to go down to our little rumpus room and I would put this record on by myself and I would basically just sit there and listen to Tim Finn's emotion come bursting out of this song. And I think this is the first song for me where I realized how moving and emotional and dramatic music could be. Because as a kid up to this point, it was all about fun and pop and all the fuzzy stuff. But this is the first time I realized that music could actually be really, really moving. So, yeah, I hope you enjoy this song. And thank you so much again for asking me to be involved. Bye.
No, thank you, Sophie. So I Hope I Never was released in 1980. The song reached 18 in Australia, 30 in the Netherlands, and only 33 in New Zealand.
Oh.
Which, as a Kiwi band.
Yeah, you would have hoped it would have gone a bit better than that.
Which really surprises me, because when I think about split end songs, this is right up there as one of my favourites.
Yeah, me
probably
too.
Only Message to My Girl I like better than this one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Not an I Got You fan?
Oh, I like it, but I like these ones better.
Yeah, yeah. It's a weird song. It's the way it's constructed. It's like how many key changes are in there and stuff. But it's very beautiful as well. Like it's beautiful melodically.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Lyrically, it's wonderful. We've often talked about that before. That you and I look at songs very differently. You're a musical person, yeah. And I'm a lyrical person.
Yeah, yeah.
But for those unfamiliar with Split Enz, it was the band of the Finn brothers, Neil and Tim. So Tim did begin the band. Neil joined in 1977. Neil went on to form and become the frontman for Crowded House, which then Tim ended up joining in 1991 during the Woodface album.
Yeah, they did this weird thing. Started Split Enz, but yeah. Neil started Crowded House, but they both were in each other's bands and then lots of other talented.
And they've also had a
well.
Band called the Finn Brothers as well.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. That's right. They had some success there.
And then one of their children is involved now too as well, I believe. I can't remember whether it's Tim or Neil's, but yeah.
Oh, it doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's in the genes. Split Enz as well, they're... name. I didn't realise the NZ, the way they spell that, is of course reference to their home.
Yeah, I only found that out this week as well. Yeah, I think that's pretty cool.
Learn.
And for people internationally, I Got You, which we just mentioned, that was the single before this and it was their biggest international hit, hitting one in Australia, New Zealand and 12 in the UK and got to 53 in the US.
I think that was the only time they reached the US chart.
Yeah, 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 yeah. But it's a beautiful song. There's also... Tina Arena did a covers album a few years ago and this was one of the songs that she covered and this is like one of my favourite songs on that album. Like she just handles the song so well.
Oh, she would. She's got an amazing voice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But yeah, so amazingly talented, and you know, Split Enz is great. I mean, you know, I prefer Crowded House. I think that's more my era.
Yeah.
But Split Enz certainly some really great tunes, and I think it's really important to remember them in when we're talking about Australian and New Zealand music. There you go. Am I claiming this as Australian now? No, it is definitely. No, it is definitely.
Watch out,
Crowded House, we can claim as Australian.
Oh, can we?
Well, the other members of Crowded House are Australian.
Yeah, that's true.
It's not just the front man, Emma.
Okay. Half Australian. But yeah, Split Enz, great group, great song.
This is a flashback.
A blast from the past. Yesterday.
Now, our random classic theme from last week was driving songs. So songs you pop in the car and are great to drive along to. So many to choose from. Emma, what did you pick?
Okay, well, as you say, driving, when I think driving songs, I think something catchy, upbeat, something happy, which I can sing along to, you know, that keeps me awake more than anything and energised. So I have decided for all those reasons to pick Polyester Girl by Regurgitator. Polyester Girl is a song by Australian rock band Regurgitator. The song was released in May 1998 as the third single from the band's second studio album, Unit. Its release has been described as the peak of Regurgitator's career, as it was their highest selling single and has been credited with helping the album Unit reach sales of over 240,000. The song peaked at number 14 in Australia, number 16 in New Zealand, and it also ranked number 26 on Triple J's Hottest 100 back in 1998. What do you think of the song, Wayne?
It's okay.
Oh, it's okay. Just okay?
Just okay. It's not really my style.
Oh, it's so bouncy and...
Yeah. You know, around this time I was full pop. Yeah.
Were you?
Yeah.
Well, this was probably one of their poppier.
Yeah, no, and I appreciate it, but I don't own any Regurgitator music.
Oh, okay. I owned the whole Unit album, I must admit, and I really did enjoy that at its time. The song itself, of course, it's really said to be about a man pledging fidelity to a sex doll.
As you do.
And then a romantic trauma occurs when the product breaks and has to be sent away for repairs.
Whoa.
But others have sort of read a bit more into it, saying it's a socially challenging song, you know, because it's this age of women getting enhancements in every single part of their body and, you know, therefore Polyester Girl. It's a comment on that. An anti-commercialism anthem, shall we say.
Well, there you go. Now, the film clip, very well-known film clip, described as having Nintendo 64 quality graphics.
Oh.
No, I think that was what they were going
that
for.
That was good.
That was the look that they were going for, but they described it as Nintendo 64 quality graphics, which I think was what makes the film clip, because they're not going for slick
slick
animation. They're going for this old-fashioned, you know, video game kind of feel.
And it was nominated for, like, Best Video at the 1998
ARIA. Yeah, I had shown it. Yeah. And did you know the group's spin-off project, Regurgitator's Pogogo Show, released their debut album of children's music in 2019?
I did know that.
Have you played it for your kids?
The Really, 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 Really Boring Album is its title.
All right.
And no, I haven't actually played that for my kids, but I'm going to because I've heard really good things about it.
There you go.
And I am, you know, a Regurgitator fan, so I think I'd actually quite enjoy that.
Yeah, put it on for the kids in the car, see what they think.
Children's music. It's a weird shift, isn't it, to go from, you know, that to kids' music. But I guess it's been done before, hasn't it?
Yeah. Lots of artists have made a kids' album.
Yeah.
You know, my favourite Australian artist, Casey Chambers, made a, you know, children's album with her dad.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah.
There you go. The Wiggles started out as,
The
Cockroaches back in the 80s.
And the Wiggles, hello, like I heard about people, you know, people talk about them in America all the time. They are internationally famous.
Yes.
Do you know we should actually play Cockroaches on the show. Mm. The Cockroaches played at my high school in 1987.
Really?
Yeah, my school won a competition, or somebody in the school won a competition, and the Cockroaches came to my school and performed.
Do you remember
Three Wiggles? I do.
Were they good?
Yeah. No, they were great. Mm. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That must have been close to their crossing over time, that because I think they started wiggling.
Wiggling around. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Kind of. Yeah, right.
There you go.
There you do.
All right. Well, let's have a look at my driving song. Mine's very different to yours.
I'll bet.
I have chosen Hadaway with What Is Love. What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me no more. What is love? Baby, don't hurt me. Don't hurt me no more. Oh, 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 oh. Oh, that just makes me want to dance. Now, if you have ever seen the SNL skits and then film A Night at the Roxbury, you know why I chose Hadaway's What Is Love as my driving song. In the scene, Will Ferrell and Chris Kattan play two brothers whose whole lives revolve around clubbing, and they always play this song while headed to the club, almost violently moving their neck to the side to the beat of the song. It is funny stuff. Now, the song itself is by Trinidadian German Eurodance artist Hadaway. The song earned Hadaway two awards at the German 1994 Echo Awards in the categories Best National Song and Best National Dance Single. The song reached 12 in Australia, 11 in the US, 2 in the UK, and 1 in 13 countries such as Austria, France, and Italy.
Mm. Yes, it was a classic time for that Eurodance.
Yeah,
stuff.
I feel like I've been doing a bit of Eurodance
you
recently.
You really have. I love it.
I do love Eurodance. At the time, I was so into Eurodance. You know, while you were listening to Regurgitator, yeah, I was into Eurodance.
Yeah, I was certainly not listening to this. You know, there was almost a plan to make a Eurodance film called Neverending Dream.
Oh, I would watch that. I would watch the hell out of that.
Yeah, that was by this artist. Like, in 2016, he announced plans to star in this Neverending Dream. They even launched fundraising, but then the film was never released. Nothing came of it. I know. But there's food for thought. Make a Eurodance film.
Well, because clearly he is trying to live up to that stuff as well. Because he in 2008, he teamed up with Dr. Alban, who we've played on the show before, Sing Hallelujah,
yes,
for the single I Love the 90s.
Oh.
But he does like getting his pound of flesh from this song. It was released again in 2009 with a remix by a German DJ. And it also resurfaced again in 2010 when it was sampled heavily in Eminem's single No Love featuring Lil Wayne.
There you go. The song that won't go away.
Yeah.
A song that asks one of those questions that will forever remain unanswered, I guess. What is love?
Baby, don't hurt me.
It's funny though, when he's been asked, well, what is love in interviews and stuff, he's come out and said, people always ask me what I meant. I meant that what is love needs to be defined by everyone by his own definition. It's unique and individual. For me, it has to do with trust, honesty, and dedication.
Yeah, it feels like a rhetorical question to me.
Yeah.
Now, are you a fan of the song?
No.
What? What?
I'm just not.
Have you seen Night of the Roxbury, the film?
No, and maybe I need to. But I still don't think that will make me like the song. I'll probably like, you know, its moment there.
It is so great. And, like, there were so many SNL skits from it. Like, I remember one where Jim Carrey was, like, playing their cousin and he's in the back and all three of them moving their head to the side. It just... Mm.
Oh, I'm sure I'll enjoy that, but, yeah.
No, I love Hadaway. You know, he had three top 50 singles in Australia. Life hit 34 and I Miss You hit 44. I owned his first album. Enjoyed him thoroughly.
Fun.
Immensely.
Well, I'm glad you were enjoying him while I was enjoying Regurgitator, and that is what we drove to.
Apparently.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. It's the final
countdown. This week we are highlighting Duran Duran. Formed in Birmingham in 1978, Duran Duran were a leading band in the MTV-driven second British invasion of the US in the 1980s. Now, Duran Duran have sold over 100 million albums worldwide. They've also achieved 14 singles in the top 10 of the UK singles charts and 21 in the US Hot 100. And they even have a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Do they?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. I didn't see that one when I was there. I would have looked for it if I knew it was there. Yeah.
Yeah, cool. There's certainly a band that I hadn't, like, I wasn't that into Duran Duran, and I'm probably still not. I appreciate some of their music. But, yeah, having that, I wasn't aware they'd had that much success.
Yeah, well, they were massive, and there are a lot of big fans. Again, you know, on social media when I was asking this question, we had a lot of responses and a lot of different votes as well.
Mm.
Like, because quite often we'll just have one or two songs that get a lot of votes. There was like 7 songs that got a lot of votes.
Ooh.
And we had a lot of people voting in. You know, like so many people I know just absolutely love Duran Duran, which is why I was excited to do this list.
Apparently they were Princess Di's favourite band.
I get that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They played at her memorial service as well.
Princess Di and I share a birthday.
Really?
Yes.
Huh. Who knew?
And Debbie Harry and John Farnham. All the best people born.
Awesome.
There you go.
Back to Duran Duran.
Back to Duran Duran. All right. Let's have a look at the top 5 as voted by you, our listeners. And coming in at number 5 was the band's debut single that went to 12 in the UK and 8 in Australia. It's Planet Earth. Can you hear me now? In at number 4, from the soundtrack of the same name, it reached 6 in Australia, 2 in the UK and 1 in the US. It's A View to a Kill. Dance into the fire, that fatal kiss is all we need. Dance into the fire, when all we see is the view to a kill. In at number 3, the third single from the 7 and the Ragged Tiger album, 4 in Oz, 1 in the US and the UK, it's The Reflex. In at number 2 is the second single from the Rio album, reached 5 in Australia and the UK, 3 in the US and 1 in Canada. It's Hungry Like the Wolf. In touch with the ground, I'm on the hunt, I'm after you. Smell like a sound, I'm lost in a crowd, and I'm hungry like the wolf. Straddle the line, discord and rhyme. And in at number 1, the first single from Duran Duran, The Wedding Album. It reached 18 in Australia, 6 in the UK, 3 in the US and 1 in Canada. It's Ordinary Worlds. But I want-
Ordinary World, you had this one pegged, didn't you? I think
I thought it might. I thought it would either be Hungry Like the Wolf or Ordinary World. But often 80s songs beat 90s songs, which is my only reason why I thought it would have been Hungry Like the Wolf. So, but I'm really glad that Ordinary World did because I love that album.
Mm. Ordinary World is a good song.
Oh, such a good song.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like they kind of reinvented themselves in the 90s when they came out with this. It was a sort of a new sound,
yeah,
a little bit more mature and really just fit that time and was great.
Yeah, 100%. That would be on my list of enjoyable songs by Duran Duran.
Well, there you go. What are your favourite Duran Duran songs?
Well, controversially, Perfect Day. They covered that Lou Reed track. I'm only adding that because I love that song. I just love it.
Covers are good. Like so many stars have become famous.
I don't necessarily love their version, but I'm putting it in my top because I just love the song. Ordinary World, as I said, made the list. Also Make Me Smile.
Yep.
It's quite good. And The Reflex, which of course is here on this list.
Yeah, my favourite would be Come Undone, which was the single after Ordinary World.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. I love Ordinary World. I do love A View to a Kill.
See, I really don't. I was trying to.
So many people list that as their favourite Bond theme.
I know, and that's so weird. There are so many great Bond themes,
really?
And I really don't enjoy that.
It's my second favourite Bond theme.
What? What's your favourite?
Really? Madonna did a Bond theme. We know,
sorry.
Madonna did a Bond,
yes,
theme.
Of course.
Yeah. I love A View to a Kill. Oh, such a great song.
God,
I also love Notorious, which did get a few votes. Didn't actually even make the top 10, but it got a few votes. Notorious is a great song. On my station, My 88, we play a lot of Duran Duran. So I'm hearing a lot of them at the moment. And I kind of go, and even ones that I don't know that well, I'm like, oh, love this song.
Yeah.
Now let's have a look at the rest of the top 10. In at 6 was The Wild Boys. 7 was Come Undone. 8 was Save a Prayer. 9 was Girls on Film. And 10 was New Moon on Monday.
Oh. Yeah, Girls on Film is pretty iconic.
Well, and that film clip as well that was so sort of controversial at the time.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
I haven't watched that.
Yeah, they've sort of been banned a few times on MTV, Duran Duran. They are sort of known for making controversial clips.
That's a bit fun.
Yeah. I love people pushing the envelope.
Well, yeah. People have said, actually, that they were very native to the music video era and understood the form really well. One of the band members said, you know, video to us is like stereo was to Pink Floyd. So they got that art of videos and how that could really work.
That's a really good comparison. Mm. And I really think it is because, you know, MTV defined an era.
Mm. Mm.
And, you know, your artists who really accepted that were the ones that did really well.
Absolutely.
And, you know, and that's when, you know, in the intro I talked about the second British invasion of the US. And, you know, and people like Duran Duran and Culture Club, you know, Eurythmics, they got that video was such an important part.
Yes, of being seen.
Yeah.
Literally.
yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Which is really great. And you know, because they made these amazing films. And if you think, you know, British people were making great film clips at the time. Like Frankie Goes to Hollywood. Like if you think about, you know, the relaxed film clip. Like good. Queen. You know, they really did some amazing music videos.
They did. Of course, with Duran Duran's case, it also helped that they were very, very photogenic.
I was going to say attractive. Very attractive.
Or as my dad said earlier, oh, a bunch of pretty boys. I'm like, jealousy, Dad. It's a curse. They were also willing to travel to exotic locations for shoots and, yeah.
I was expecting Rio, the song, to get more votes, and it didn't actually get a single vote.
Oh, really?
But yeah, it's got one of those ones with a fantastic video in an exotic location. But you know, an avid sailor, Le Bon's yacht Drum capsized during the Fastnet race in 1985, and he said he and 5 crewmates were trapped underwater but survived thanks to an air pocket beneath. So the Royal Navy soon saved them. The year before, the singer was strapped to a rotating windmill for the video shoot for Wild Boys when it unexpectedly stopped turning while he was underwater and divers had to go save him. So he's nearly drowned twice.
Oh, my gosh.
But imagine that. You're on this thing and it just stops.
So then you're like tied to it.
Yes.
Holy. Whoa, wow.
That's torture device.
Yeah. Well, I'm very, very glad he didn't drown. As
me too.
The rest of his bandmates, I'm sure. They sound like an amazingly fun little group, actually. I'd read that they used to take part in Duran Duran lookalike contests. They'd actually all put on their 1980s mullet wigs and big shoulder pads and suits and enter these competitions and win.
Funny that.
Fun guys.
Good. Well, I'm happy we did Duran Duran. Some great songs.
Yes.
And let us know, did your favourite make the top 5? Now, let's talk about next time. Very different artist. So if you think Latin superstar, who is the only name that you can think of, female?
Oh, Gloria Estefan.
Gloria Estefan.
Yay.
Now, we will accept both Gloria's solo work and her work with Miami Sound Machine, because they were known as Gloria Estefan and the Miami Sound Machine.
Yeah.
So you can have Dr. Beats, or you can have Anything for You, or you can have Turn the Beat Around, which I love Turn the Beat Around.
Yes, that's got to be one of the top 5, I think.
Yep.
If not Oh,
yeah,
no.
I don't know. So some of that Miami Sound Machine stuff could definitely. Really conga, get on your feet.
Get on your feet. Oh, makes you want to dance.
Yeah, I love a bit of Gloria.
Yay.
Yeah, so that is who it is next time.
All right, exciting, yes. Exciting.
All right, but let's roll for our classics. All right.
Yes, here is the dice. Oh, we have number four.
A singer with just one name, and no, I'm not going to pick Madonna. I'm not going to pick Madonna.
Automatically thinking, well, I know who you've got. Okay.
But yes, a singer with just one name. So you could pick Cher.
Or a band as well?
No,
singer. A
singer. Singer with one name.
Okay,
so you could go Cher. You could go Madonna.
Yeah.
You could go Australian singer Swanee, even though I'm sure you're not going to.
No.
Yeah.
That did not occur
to I'm not going to mention who I'm going to go for.
I already know.
When I came up with this theme, I was like, oh, I know who I'm going to pick for that.
Okay.
So,
game on. Awesome.
All right. Well, we're going to record a Patreon episode right now. So.
Ah, yes.
Yeah. So if you want to hear a classic album review, just join our Patreon from as little as $2 a month.
Bargain.
But we'll catch you next time.
All right. Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.